welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 399, the penultimate episode before 400. With me tonight is Jared Aubrey, and tonight we'll talk one news headline: AEW Dynamite, Rampage, and WWE SmackDown. Jarrett, how the hell are you?
Wow, Josh, 399 episodes of this version of the podcast. And if you put that together with the A1 version of this show, it's like, that is a lot of podcast episodes. But it feels like just like yesterday, it was like, you know, maybe we should do something different with this show. And it branded it and all this kind of stuff, but 399 episodes later, like, that's pretty cool ride.
Who knew this is where we would end up when the podcast was started, those many years ago, even before I was part of this show. And maybe for episode 400, we'll do some reminiscing and maybe some fun things along the way. But tonight, we're still talking wrestling.
Let's get it done.
Excellent. So let's start the night with some nostalgia that was announced earlier today. And it was announced via a press release. I guess they still do those. That the Slammies are returning WrestleMania weekend. And you can vote now for the 2024 Slammy Awards, aka the Fans Choice Awards, on WWE.com/Slammies. And you know what? Maybe we might live vote on episode 400 collectively. That might be interesting. Or maybe we'll each just vote individually and say who we're voting for.
We're going to have to institute our own version of the Slammies. I think the Slammy is a fantastic idea to bring back. I keep thinking of the days of Owen Hart and the Slammies and how fun that was, and how how just over the top he made that. And it was so good. So I don't know if we're going to get any characters when we do it this year. But it'll be interesting to see what the current generation of folks think about the product.
Well, based on the categories that I perused earlier, it's essentially the year-end awards.
Well.
So we did it first.
Well, of course, we've always said, you know, that WWE listens to the show and they start stealing our ideas and doing things, right? So it's like just another day at the office, Josh.
We call that a Friday. Well, the wrestling gods have had mercy on us, because essentially that's really the only news that's come out since the last time we recorded. But you know, there's other things, but it's kind of nitpicking if I wanted to go dumpster diving for news headlines. So let's just shift gears over to AEW Dynamite / Rampage that took place on Wednesday night because of March Madness and the basketball tournament that airs on both channels that AEW airs on. They kind of had to shift Rampage to Wednesday and they canceled Collision altogether. So we had 3 hours of live programming on a Wednesday night. And that wasn't the only thing that they borrowed from WWE, because Dynamite started with people arriving, quote unquote, earlier today, taking a page from WWE. The only thing they were missing were the exact clock times of when people got there.
At 3:29 p.m., the Rated R Superstar showed up. Did he have an Escalade, Josh?
I think he did.
Oh, Jesus. Ridge Holland has been drafted to Raw.
The inside joke that never dies. We started off the show proper with an in-ring segment with Miss Mercedes Moné for the second week in a row. Tony Schiavone tried to interview her, but this was another one of those instances where the interviewee just kind of takes the mic and takes over. and she's kind of going over her mission statement for why she's here, and now she's got beef with Julia Hart and Sky Blue, and kind of because in the roundabout way of ice, you know, I can't remember her exact wording, but something along the lines of Willow Nightingale is business that I have to tend to, and the two of you are messing with my business, so now you have to deal with me, that type of thing. So based on this in-ring segment and how she interacts with Chris Statlander and Willow later, it's like she's a babyface to everybody except Willow, because apparently it was Willow's fault that she broke her ankle.
Setting up for would that be a potential heel turn later down the road? Is she going to be a heel in Canada or a face in Canada and a heel everywhere else?
Oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe we should do that for a character. Oh. That's already been done. Actually, there's not much in wrestling that hasn't already been done.
Yeah. Although revenge is one of those things that, regardless of your alignment, it's one of those deep personal things that, you know, you feel that way or you believe that way no matter what the circumstances are. And you can be a, quote, good guy or a bad guy and still have that run the same way.
Right. That's kind of what fueled AJ Styles' latest heel turn.
But and some of those are the best ones. Right? It's like, I truly believe this, you know, deep down inside, and that's what drives me, and that brings out the best part of the characterization sometimes. So, hey, what the hell?
Character depth. Layers. Who knew?
Surprise!
Well, then we got to probably Jarrett's favorite moment of the night, because Kazuchika Okada defeated Eddie Kingston to win the Continental Crown title only. Just the one. But now Okada is a champion, and Eddie Kingston lost one of his three titles.
Oh boy. I'm so glad this is on my DVR. I'm going to go watch it probably three times.
One for every belt.
the chink in the armor is there. Now it's time to lose the other two.
Well, Eddie will be defending the Ring of Honor World title against Mark Briscoe at what's the next paper? I think Supercard of Honor is the next show. But yes, defending against Mark Briscoe. So we shall.
That could be a pretty hard hitting match.
Yeah, just a little bit. two guys that don't care.
Yeah. Watch us slap the shit out of each other.
Right. One guy likes using anything and everything he can get his hands on, and the other guy uses a back fist to knock you the F out. So in the next step of earning veterans' respect, I guess, Hook defeated Chris Jericho. And later on, after catching up with him backstage, Renee asks Jericho what's next. And Chris said that he is impressed, and he thinks Hook is world championship material one day. And if he's interested, he's got one more proposition for him next week on Dynamite. We don't know what that is, but we'll have to see.
Join my appreciation all.
In a pre-recorded promo, Adam Cole bashes Wardlow for not getting the job done against Samoa Joe.
Oh, no.
Shocker. So let's see. Wardlow cuts this insane promo that he should, stealing a line from Sid Vicious, he should be the ruler of the world. And then he loses to Samoa Joe when Samoa Joe puts his ass out. I don't know why I'm supposed to believe in Wardlow, and now Adam Cole confirms it because he doesn't believe in Wardlow. He has demoted Wardlow to just protecting the other titles within the faction. So, yay. What are they doing with this guy? It should not be this complicated.
They They've completely turned Wardlow into a meathead.
In-ring segment, an interview with Tony Schiavone with Will Ospreay. Apparently, you can't run him out there and have five-star matches every week. Otherwise, he will burn out in 4 weeks. So he's basically just cutting another babyface promo and hyping up his match with Bryan Danielson, which should still be amazing. And we're about 3 weeks out from that, maybe four. So just another, I guess, buffer between now and then. Nothing really earth-shattering revealed in this interview. But I do think that he's taking on... I forget which New Japan star he's taking on. But he is having another, which will probably be a good match, another challenge next week. Shibata, maybe? I think it was Shibata. So that'll be good anyway.
That's okay. Keep him and Bryan apart. They don't need to do anything other than talk before the big match. I'm quite all right with that. Let them go out and save it all for the big match. Absolutely.
In a tag team match, Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa defeated Toni Storm and Mariah May when Thunder Rosa pinned Toni Storm. And afterwards, Deonna was pissed off because Thunder got the pin.
Oh, jeez.
Which means that she'll be in line for a title shot. Whatever happened to the rankings?
Wasn't there some comment about, oh, there's a ranking system now? It's like you gotta earn it or something along those lines.
Yeah, that was Toni.
Yeah.
Toni and the presser.
Yeah.
Sigh. She told all the other women to fuck off.
Yeah, pretty much. So now you've got the two partners up against Toni, and now, well, geez, you know, my partner won and I didn't, so now I'm pissed off. It's like, oh, there's a trope.
If you didn't want the possibility of someone else taking a pin, maybe you shouldn't have challenged them to a tag team match. We had an open challenge match thrown out by Swerve Strickland that was answered by The Butcher. And obviously, Swerve defeated The Butcher. There was a post-match promo with Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe was about to give Swerve what he wanted, which was a one-on-one match. But they were interrupted by Don Callis. Don Callis says, apparently in Swerve's house, Swerve just gets to book himself into world title matches. He goes, but he thinks that the last time he looked, Takeshita and Swerve have the same amount of wins. And outside of the Don Callis family, Takeshita's undefeated. So next week, it'll be Swerve versus Takeshita. And Joe, well, he was okay with this.
Imagine that, using win-loss records to determine contenders. We just talked about that 2 seconds ago.
Who knew?
What a novel idea. That's going to be a good match. I got to watch that one for sure.
Yeah. Well, Joe will tell you he was the one that brought the rankings back in the first place. So he's going to make sure they stick to him. And in the main event of Dynamite for the TNT title in an I Quit match, Adam Copeland did in fact defeat Christian Cage and is the new TNT champion. Now, there was a part of this match early on that, Jared, I think you would have liked. And I can't believe it's been about 15 minutes before I've even said this. But in case you didn't know, they were in Toronto.
I was waiting for that. And I did see a couple clips that the bits that I saw, I think was a cricket bat to the undercarriage.
Yes.
Which was quite entertaining. And then I saw the hockey jersey bit where I think Christian got like a Bruins jersey, which would have been bad. And Edge grabs, or Copeland grabs the Maple Leafs jersey, which is just as bad, but appeases the hometown heathens, right? Cheap pop, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a neat idea. Hey, in Canada, right? Why not? I'm going to have a hockey fight.
Yeah. which was hilarious because it was Adam that took the Bruins jersey and essentially had to put it on the dazed Christian. But as soon as Copeland got on the Maple Leafs jersey, all of a sudden Christian's okay for them to start swinging dukes at each other. But yeah, this was a good match. And this was another one where, and Copeland's been in a lot of these, well, a handful of these anyway, where it's not really something you did that made the other person said I quit. It was more the threat of about to do something. And then they just say, yeah, I quit, so they don't have to experience it. At least this time, Beth Phoenix didn't get concertoed, you know, as opposed to the way the WWE did it. But yeah, Copeland brought out the heavily spiked 2x4 and he hit Christian with it in the gut. And then he was rearing back like he was going to hit him again. And just before he did, he said, I quit. So, yeah, that's how that ended.
Save yourself some pain and punishment. Not a bad, he's an investment intelligent man. But I was wondering, though, Josh, so this was Copeland Christian 3. So, okay, kind of makes sense. You do the trilogy, you do the blow off. On one hand, it's like, oh, this happened on free TV, you know, title change on free TV. On the other hand, it's like, oh, they could have saved that for a pay-per-view type event. But on the third hand, do we have three hands? No, we only have two hands. It's like, well, sometimes you just got to do stuff on TV to make TV worth watching or create that. So, well, you know, stuff can happen on TV. So that's a really long about way to say, hey, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, this was the second title change of the night. So,
yeah, because it's Toronto.
That's where we live. Yay.
Oh, dear.
I should have started this episode with that clip.
Because that never gets old.
Right? What was I thinking? He said Toronto. That's where we live. Ah, shut up.
And just to think we were supposed to follow that in a week and it got rescheduled. It's like, oh, for the love of God.
Right. Well, I think I might have the answer as to why that was rescheduled. There's going to be at least one, possibly two Dynamites in Jacksonville in April because Tony's got to be in Jacksonville to prepare for the NFL draft. And I'm like, dude, you don't own the Jaguars. Your dad does. So I'm like, what do you fetch everybody's coffee in the war room? What do you possibly do leading up to the draft? I don't understand. But anyway, that's what I heard. That's what I read.
See, you were much nicer about it than I was. I was going to make a comment about being daddy's little bitch or something like that. But
Tony, go over in the corner and write some wrestling shows while the adults pick some college kids, okay?
Daddy can play with the multi-billion dollar company. You go have your little wrestling thing and have fun there, son.
Yeah, right. Break out the little action figures. You write your little show.
Awesome.
The only other thing I remember from Rampage was the street fight between Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue. And the heels went over, I think, which is okay. And as Willow said, she's got the most street fights under her belt in the entire women's division. So I would definitely choose her if I was going into a battle in a street fight.
It would be like Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade. It's like the night when they choose the chalice. It's like, you've chosen wisely.
Willow Nightingale, fight! Well, that was AEW. And that will allow us to shift gears over to WWE SmackDown from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And tonight they were advertising we were going to have some more six-pack qualifiers, which are in bracket form, as we had previously discussed. Bracket form on SmackDown and just straight into WrestleMania on Raw. But that just goes to show you that they have a deeper tag team roster on SmackDown, which then also leads you to believe, why don't they have their own set of belts?
Hmm.
Whatever.
Josh is not bitter at all.
No, of course not. Speaking of not being bitter, in a match that should have been on a pay-per-view, you know, the one coming up, but nope, free TV. Rey Mysterio took on Santos Escobar of Legado del Fantasma. An interesting thing happened along the way of this match. Santos wins by pinfall due to a distraction from Dirty Dom Mysterio. So I don't know what Rey's doing at Mania, but are we circling back to father versus son again? What is going on?
Okay, that's intriguing. That's a thing I fast-forwarded through to get through before the show here. I wonder if that ties into anything going on with Judgment Day, or Dom just, you know, got to put over that he hates his dad so much that, you know, he'll side with yet someone else to make it happen.
Right. In a backstage segment, Naomi's getting ready for her match against Io Sky, and Bayley comes in and thanks her for having her back last week. And Bayley, as she starts to say that she didn't mean for Naomi to be dragged into the middle of this, Bianca Belair walks in and says she's not buying any of that because karma is finally catching up to Bayley. I thought she was retired. Oh, not that karma? My bad.
Oh, man.
Call back.
Yeah, right?
Bianca says that maybe Bayley will realize that actions have their consequences. Bayley and Bianca continue to bicker with each other, but Naomi intercedes and takes Bianca off screen as she wants to have a conversation with her. The conversation is that all of Bianca's feelings are valid, but there's nothing Naomi can do about the past. She's here to focus on the present. And if Naomi says if she could have gone back and fixed it, then she would have, but she can't. So she's going to just focus on getting her retribution against Io Sky. She says damage control has the numbers and that she can't do it all by herself. And while she's making that point, she says that neither could Bianca. So regardless of how you feel about the players in this story, I at least like that they're giving it some depth. And not just saying, oh, well, Bayley turned face, so now all the faces get along. They're actually saying, you know, like, hey, you've been screwing me over for 2 years, so why the fuck should I care about you? And they're like, yeah, but we all don't like damage control. So they have the numbers, and if we want to do something, we can't just be individuals. We have to learn how to trust some people. So I like that they're at least explaining it and making the baby faces seem a little bit smarter anyway. And not just trusting because we're all baby faces.
See, I like that you're taking the time to process this and explain it so I don't have to, because my DVR fast forwards in from speeds from 1 to 5. And I generally fast forward at 3 to get through stuff pretty quickly. When I saw Naomi and Bianca, okay, it's the 3. On the DVR, when I saw Bayley, I cranked that sucker up to 5 and it zoomed right through.
Well, you might have missed the next item, which was a Braun Breaker vignette, which was very well done. Almost as good as these new camera angles that we're getting and camera shots. They made it seem like he was a prospect in the upcoming NFL draft, and like they were showing like all his, you know, strengths and very little weaknesses, and that he, you know, is kind of a reminder that he's still on his way to SmackDown full time eventually once he wraps up his NXT storylines. But a very well put together vignette.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, it was very well done. And maybe you're going to get to this next bit in a second, so I hope I'm not stepping on toes. But it's like they answered a couple questions today because we've been asking. It's like, well, geez, what's been going on with Bron Breakker? Where's he been? And also, you know, what's been going on with, like, where the hell is Jade Cargill? It's like, oh, answers.
Yeah.
So that was good.
That kind of explains why tonight wasn't amazing. And I don't want to just give all the credit to The Rock because it's the first episode that in 3 weeks that he hasn't been on. But like last week was setting up Mania matches or finalizing Mania matches. This week kind of felt like they were filling the holes or the loopholes in some storylines or, you know, patching some gaps, things that might not have made sense or things like you said, we had questions on. I think tonight's episode kind of answered those questions. And added some depth. So on the whole, I you can say this was a good episode just in a different way.
Yeah, they don't always have to be like wall to wall action. You know, stop and take a breath and flesh out some stories. And you know, and as we continually say on this show, is like, give us a reason to get into the characters.
Yes, for sure. Well, we will zip through the next part. And that was one of the six-pack challenge qualifying matches as Austin Theory and Grayson Waller defeated the Good Brothers, which is a shame because I would have liked to have seen the Good Brothers in a ladder match with 10 other people.
That would have been a really nice addition to the car wreck.
Yeah. Then we had Io Sky taking on Naomi in that match that was previously mentioned. This was actually a really good match. I think what they've done with Naomi is not only do they give her essentially her TNA entrance, I think they've also given her they're treating her like a top tier talent as far as, you know, it's not just, you know, a 2 minute match and then it's over. And, you know, and if I remember correctly, I don't even think she got those shitty ass kicks in this match. So kudos for that. But Io Sky does win via pinfall with her moonsault, or it's called the over the moonsault, to pick up the pinfall victory. Afterwards, Damage Control gangs up on Naomi. Asuka shoots her with the blue mist. And then Bianca Belair storms to the ring and makes the save. What was funny was they do a segment a little bit later on where Bianca's trying to get the mist out of Naomi's face, and Tiffany Stratton walks by and says, yeah, that Naomi's never looked better. Toodles. And she walks off, but they never really circle back to what happened to Bayley, which actually before the Io Sky match with Naomi, Io took a small detour and beat the shit out of Bayley backstage and then came out with the rest of Damage Control for the match. So it'll be interesting. I guess Bayley will have to have her revenge next week.
That actually just tied in really nicely to the girl, you know, Bianca and Naomi talking about, you know, them having the numbers. They go wipe out Bayley, so now it's like 4-on-2. They have the numbers and they beat the crap out of them.
Yep, agreed. We could totally see where this would be going if it was closer to November, but I can't imagine we'll be doing this for, I hope we're not doing this for a whole summer and fall leading into War Games.
Well, now you said that, you know, sometimes WrestleMania is not the end, but it is the beginning of things. And this whole storyline feels like it's just being put together really to kick off at WrestleMania. So perhaps it is going to go on through the summer and we have the ending at something like War Games.
Yeah, I guess I can't complain about long-term booking, can I?
Imagine that. Storytelling.
I can't have it all. I can't have my cake and eat it too. especially in reverse.
Right?
It was announced, as you said, that Jade Cargill will officially make her Blue Brand debut next week, and she has announced that she put pen to paper and signed with SmackDown. So we have another number on the babyface side so far, at least anyway.
they made her look pretty spectacular in that video package too.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Then we got back-to-back segments of really good television. And the first one was they were interviewing AJ Styles at his house in his home gym. They were initially trying to get a segment on how he's training for WrestleMania. But there's a ruckus outside, and AJ has to interrupt the segment or the filming to see what the hell's going on, because somebody's maniacally beeping their car horn outside. And it turns out it's L.A. Knight, who's come to do a home invasion angle. Except they never really get to the house because they're brawling on the street. And the cops show up. And this was also filmed uniquely. And I say uniquely, not because it's never been done on shows like Cops before, or the movies, or even the news. But for wrestling, it's unique. They filmed it, or shot it, or aired it, I should say, from the police body cam camera of the cops walking up on LA and AJ brawling in the grass. And they essentially arrest LA Knight. And you could see AJ trying to be calmed down by Wendy, his wife. And I just thought this was great because it didn't involve going in the house. Like, windows weren't broken, doors weren't kicked in. It was nothing like that. It was all done outside. And I just like remote location angles. So this won me over on multiple levels.
Yeah, this was pretty cool. The visuals were really good, but I don't understand how police come up on two guys brawling in, well, on a lawn, I guess. But there's two guys fighting, and then LA Knight gets arrested. Why did they take both of them?
It did feel like it was condensed. There might be like an extended version of this video, but they might have just condensed it for SmackDown, and then, you know, maybe they'll tweet over the weekend, see the uncensored, uncut, full video, blah, blah, blah. So
I just thought, wouldn't it be cool if these two have a cinematic match?
In prison. It's the Alcatraz match from WCW. Oh, no.
No.
Let's not bring up that.
No.
So then the next segment, which I was really entertained by, was a backstage segment with Kevin Owens and Nick Aldis. And Kevin wants to know why Nick's not returning his text messages. And just as we're going to get an explanation, Pretty Deadly interrupts the conversation, and they are upset, and they want to know why they don't have a match at WrestleMania. And they said, KO's like, you know, hey, you're interrupting us. We're having a conversation here. And they essentially say that Kevin Owens wouldn't know anything about tag team wrestling because he's not a tag team wrestler. And Owens, this basically sets him off into his anger management gimmick where he just shouts at everything. He's like, I won the tag team titles in the main event of last year's WrestleMania. And the Pretty Deadly's response to that is like, ah, you live in the past. And so Owens challenges Pretty Deadly to a tag team match for next week. And they're like, you don't have a partner. And Kevin's like, I do have a partner. And he looks off to the side and he goes, hey, you want to tag with me next week on SmackDown? And Pretty Deadly turns right around flat into Randy Orton. And what's great about this is Simon Miller on his ups and downs says this almost every week, that he says that in real life, Randy Orton must have just been standing off camera for him to be able to join this promo or interview segment backstage. And now that Kevin kind of played off of that, because he's like yelling at somebody who's standing right there. So Randy agrees to be Owen's tag team partner. And basically the other thing that Owen said was that last time he was in this arena, he punched two guys in the face at the same time, which was Theory and Waller. So Kevin goes off screen with Randy. Pretty Deadly are standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder. And Nick Aldis goes, "I wouldn't stand so close together if I were you." And they're like, "Why?" And then bam, Kevin just takes them both out. Oh, this was so entertaining to me. I love this whole segment.
And after he punches, I was like, "Hey, Randy, I did it."
Yeah, right. I told you I could punch them both in the face. We got the other six-pack challenge qualifier as the Street Profits defeated AOP. AOP hasn't really done much since their return. They kind of feel like Hit Row a little bit, but that's for another conversation. So we will get the Street Profits taking on Grayson Waller and Austin Theory next week on SmackDown, and the winner of that match will be in the WrestleMania match for the six-pack challenge. And then we got to the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes face-to-face segment. And I don't know if I was expecting too much from this. We had discussed it on the last episode, Jarrett. And this, with the exception of the last 4 minutes, this didn't really do anything for me. It didn't move the needle. It didn't make me want Cody to win anymore. It didn't want me to have Roman retain anymore. I was very ambivalent to this until the last 4 minutes. And the only reason that was is because they planted a seed early on in the segment, and I knew it was going to come to fruition at the end, and it did. This started off with Roman saying the tribal chief is a man of his word, and he kept his word that no other members of the bloodline would be here. And then he's asking if Cody kept his word as well, that he was here by himself. And Cody's response was, "Well, I am as much of a man of my word as you are. So if you came alone, then I came alone." And the way that was worded, I was like, yeah, so then if something happens on the heel side, he's going to be prepared, because that's exactly how that was worded. So then they had their face-to-face, and Roman is insulting Cody, and Cody is challenging Roman on, you know, Roman tells Cody, "Can you really trust Seth?" Cody tells Roman, "Can you really trust The Rock?" And blah, 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 blah. And they have, you know, little, I don't want to call them Easter eggs, but little, I don't know. I guess Easter eggs is the best way to
put it. Little nuggets, if you will.
Yeah, little nuggets. And Cody refers to the Bullet Club by saying he has his Bullet cufflinks on, and he knows a thing or two about factions and who you can trust and et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, all of this kind of was flat for me. I don't know how you felt about it, and we'll get to your thoughts here in just a minute. But it wraps with Roman refusing a handshake from Cody, who says, "May the best man win." Roman refuses, leaves the ring, snaps his fingers, and his theme song plays. And then they cut to the crowd, and out comes a hooded Solo Sikoa and a hooded Jimmy Uso. And then they go stand by Roman Reigns and look towards the ring, and Cody just smirks. And off to the sides, you see a hooded Jey Uso and a hooded Seth Rollins. So that brings out to fruition what Cody said earlier. "Hey, if you came alone, then I came alone. And if you didn't, then I didn't. So fuck you." So that was the only really good to great part of the segment, because, again, they made smart baby faces, which is what you need. I'm tired of dumbass super trusting, naive as shit baby faces. So this, between this and the women's storyline from earlier, I was happy that they, you know, wrote the baby faces like this. As for the rest of it, I could have done without it. So what did you think on this final segment?
Yeah, it made me want to see how the match is going to turn out, really, like how the stipulations are going to take effect here is what got me thinking about. So we just saw that, you know, Roman is the mob boss, is, you know, he's all prepared for all these situations. He's going to use the numbers and get one up. Oh, but wait, Cody's smart enough too. So he brought his own back up. So now we're at a standoff. So what does that mean for the, you know, like the bloodline rules thing? So I don't know if it was very clear or not, but okay, so Rock and Roman win on night one. That means, you know, anything goes on night two. But does that mean anything goes for the bloodline, or does that mean that now, you know, Cody's prepared with his backup too, and we're going to nullify, you know, the bloodline here too? So that's what it got me kind of pondering is, well, geez, how much of an advantage is bloodline rules really going to be now that Cody has his own backup?
It's the aforementioned Avengers. Yeah, I think bloodline rules just means anything goes, but, you know, the bloodline's so cocky that they just think, oh, Cody can't do anything on his own, so it's going to be like infinity family members against one. And it's really weird that Solo, since beating John Cena in Saudi Arabia, soundly, might I add, they haven't really done anything with Solo. He hasn't really been in any matches, and everybody's got stuff to do at Mania except for Solo, which may play into this a little bit. I don't know, but
well, yeah,
something to have in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, everybody else expected to be in shenanigans is at least booked for a match.
True. True.
So we'll have to see how that plays out.
This just wants me to have the bloodline bust out more members to retake the advantage. But hey,
maybe they'll debut at Mania. Maybe that's what The Rock and Roman have planned up their sleeve for once they get the advantage. Of course, yeah. To the casual fan, no, they won't know who the hell that is. And commentators will be like, "That's so and so Anoa'i, or so and so Fatu."
Yeah. Which brother is he going to side with?
Yeah, right.
But what side is he on, Josh?
He's Samoan. What do you think? Although that doesn't explain Jay, but you know.
Oh, man.
Any final wrestling thoughts as we wrap the week?
Yeah, this whole, I think we touched on it last time, this whole build to WrestleMania just seems like it's like we got to do some stuff that they should have been doing 3 months ago. And then that was kind of specific to Jay and Jimmy, but I kind of feel that way about the rest of it. I mean, we're down to what, three shows left? And now we're trying to get intense with the storylines. So, oh, like, where was this before?
We've got four shows down
next week, right?
No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. So we have
four shows of television, although technically maybe three, because the Friday before will be WrestleMania SmackDown. You know, where we'll do an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal or something.
Right.
At least that's the assumption anyway. They may surprise us. Who knows?
I mean, they ramped up the AJ LA Knight stuff. The tag team, you know, match is going to be really, there's no build behind it other than qualifying matches. Like, they haven't really woven any real stories into that. And I know with the whole Jimmy Jay and the bloodline and the Cody stuff and the Rock, are they trying to do too much in too little of time? So I guess unless, you know, maybe something spectacular happens over the last few shows, I have no idea, but that's why it's WrestleMania season, and that's why we're all going to be tuned in.
Well, my final thought is actually a question that I'll pose to you.
All right.
Would it have helped if Jimmy and Jay would have brawled at the end of that segment instead of just staring at each other?
I expected that, you know, with the backup would have shown up afterwards, right? So Solo and Jimmy corner, you know, they actually went around the sides of the ring. They were going to go in and get Cody, then the backup shows up. I would have thought perhaps they actually would have gone in the ring, started the beatdown on Cody, then Jimmy and Seth come out, and that's when you get the folks kind of brawling on the side. You could have done the brothers fighting there. I guess they're going for the perhaps the cool visual here of I'm just as intelligent as you are. but even then,
have friends who can pull hoodie hoods down.
Yeah. I don't know if they would have brawling there would have helped much, because then they're in that situation that I just described. They're just part of group shenanigans. Right? There's only nothing individual getting furthered there.
Right. What I'm glad did not happen is I thought too that they were surrounding the ring to jump up on the apron and then start beating Cody down. And then you would have had the baby faces running in. But if that would have happened, my logic would have been, why weren't you sprinting to the ring the minute you saw them in the aisle?
Yeah.
Because obviously you're there for a reason. You're there in case shit goes sideways. Well, the minute you saw them, you should have been making your way to the ring. Not, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, they're standing about. Oh, they're up on the apron. Oh, they're beating shit out of Cody. Oh, I guess we better go now. Because that's how it would have came off to me. But luckily, we didn't have that.
Yeah. And it would have worked because wrestling. Yeah. You're right. Like that's all you got to explain there. So, yeah. So they did the cool visual, the aha intelligent thing, which is fine. But, I mean, that's something perhaps for February.
Right. Because the thing is I'm sure we'll touch on this again on Saturday's episode, but I'm going to Raw on Monday and they've done all this cool stuff. Well, what's left for them to do in these final couple episodes? Like what's left? Rock's not showing up Monday. Roman's not showing up Monday. What's Cody going to do? Have another match? That's meaningless. Okay. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like they, you know, they in the span of like 2 or 3 weeks went from 0 to 10, and now there's nowhere left to go. Where they could have over the span of 3 months, like they should normally do during the rest of the year, they could have slowly built it up. But now it's like, we did the press conference thing way too late, and now they're trying to stuff everything in, and it just feels like a bit of a jumble.
Somebody lost track of time. And we got 8 episodes to figure that out. We've got 3. Oh, shit.
I guess that's what happens when you have to change your plans partway through the storyline.
All right. Well, as we alluded to, our next episode is episode 400. And there's no AEW. Literally. So what we're going to do is we'll probably go over those Slammy Award nominees and maybe we'll break out a prime cut or maybe a sound off or maybe both. Who can say? But I will say that we will have a lot of fun doing it. So until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you for number 400. Next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X
at TWBP Show, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.